Hello and welcome to Cultivating Safety, Protecting Your Farm's Greatest Asset, a collaboration of Between the Rows, the podcast of Glacier Farm Media, and Workplace Safety and Prevention Services, the health and safety provider to the agriculture sector. For Glacier Farm Media, I'm your host, Gord Gilmore, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Kristen Hoffman of WSPS.
Hi, Gord. Good to be here.
Today, we'll be talking to safety consultant Jay Remsick, who'll tell us how you can keep your kids, your employees, and yourself safe this spring. We'll also be chatting with Danielle Stewart, who specializes in mental health and the farm, about the stigma surrounding mental health. And we're not going to just talk about the problems. We're also going to offer some solutions. At the end of the show, we'll provide you with a world of resources you can use. Kristen, you're from a farm too, right?
Yes, I am from a farm that my family operates still in southern Ontario.
So have you ever made a suboptimal safety decision through the, say, fog of teenage brain? Because I know I sure did.
Yes, whether teenage or even younger, I have the scar to prove the pitchfork that went through my foot.
I think every farm kid's had some sort of experience like that. Like, I can personally remember running machines without safety guards in place, just because it was easier, faster, and all that sort of thing. And most of us were lucky, but when it comes to safety, we shouldn't count on luck. We'll be right back after a brief message with a guest who'll tell us a bit about how forward planning can eliminate those bad choices in the heat of the moment.
When you farm, you know your land like the back of your hand. What makes your machinery tick? How, when, and where to put down roots? And what it takes to produce? Your expertise is farming. At Workplace Safety and Prevention Services, keeping you and your people safe is ours. For free health and safety resources and tailored safety solutions, visit WSPS.ca.
I'm Gord Gilmore of Glacier Farm Media, and I'm joined today by Kristen Hoffman of WSPS. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Gord. So good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So WSPS, it's an acronym. Great. What's it actually mean?
Such a good question. And there are so many acronyms in health and safety. WSPS stands for Workplace Safety and Prevention Services. And that word prevention is truly why I do what I do. Our organization's effort and mandate really is to help operations, farmers, to protect themselves, their families, and their workforce. And we do that through consulting, writing policies and programs, and facilitating training in the end for prevention, to be sure that all of us can go home or remain at our farm home with all of our fingers and toes.
Our first guest is Jay Remsick of WSPS. Jay works directly with agricultural operations to make them safer through planning and training. Jay, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Gord.
Jay, can you give us an example from your experience where the lack of planning and appropriate training resulted in an incident on the farm?
Yeah, it was a number of years ago, having to conduct an investigation at a small family farm where we had two brothers, a 15-year-old and an 8-year-old, operating the tractor in the morning prior to getting ready to catch the bus. The 15-year-old operator saw the bus coming down the road, realized that they needed to get back into the yard rather quickly, increased the speed of the tractor coming through the field, hit a swale in the field, and his 8-year-old brother popped off the fender and he ran him over.
That's a terrible accident to have happened, but it's also an important message, Jay, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, and an incident such as that it occurred could have been easily prevented by having a no rider policy in regards to equipment. And I think about that every time I'm doing a session in regards to tractor safety, that here's a 15-year-old that now has to live with that for the rest of his life.
To build on that idea, what are some of the basics of creating a safe workplace on a farm?
I think what farmers need to consider in regards to health and safety is reviewing, if they have them, policies and procedures, general rules that they possibly have at the farm, to think about the equipment that they've had, that they have, and to do like a pre-operational check. You know, you're doing that pre-operational check from a, both a preventative maintenance standpoint, but also from a safety standpoint. And then to consider, training. Training for the staff members at the operation.
Jay, do farmers plan ahead enough in this area?
I think there's some that do the planning. But what I've noticed over the years that I've worked in this particular sector is that a lot of operations don't necessarily map it out and plan for the upcoming season. Numerous times over the years, I've received that phone call after the fact. After something's happened and the operation or the owner is looking for more assistance, then I think it's very important for operations to consider planning ahead, right, and having everything in place as opposed to being reactive. So let's look at it from a proactive standpoint as opposed to being reactive.
That mention of after an incident or problem might arise is where you do see more farmers begin to think about what they could have or should have done better and moving toward that prevention statement. Then how would you encourage farmers to invest, or why bother to take some time and invest in planning and training perhaps?
I would talk to them from a financial standpoint, from a reputational standpoint, from a staff standpoint. What we need to consider, what we need to think about is, when it is reactive, if there's been a serious injury, there could be an enforcement body that business or that agricultural operation is going to have to deal with. We want to think about it that, we plan, we're not going to have those fines or those tickets per se. It's not going to be splattered across the news per se in regards to from a reputational standpoint. But the other key thing that I speak to a lot of operations about is, training and having these policies and procedures in place assist them in regards to reducing those amount of incidents or accidents that possibly could occur. A lot of operations, and I'll throw this out to an owner, that if they have a small staff, let's say of six, and one worker is going to get injured, and he or she is off work for the next, let's say, 6 weeks. A lot of the times you'll ask the employer, are you going to go out and hire a replacement for the next 6 weeks? And the answer is no, right? So it is having an impact just not only on that injured worker, but also the operation. And it's also impacting the other colleagues because now that employer is expecting the work of six to still be done, but they've only got five.
So it sounds to me like you feel like there's a business case to be made for safety on farms.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we always speak about at our organization, that there is a business case for health and safety, right? If you're going to spend the amount of time and effort to invest in your equipment, you should be considering the same thing in regards to health and safety and your workers.
For the workers in particular, who would you recommend to farmers that become involved in that communication or training plan? Who needs to hear it? Who needs to be involved?
I think you need to look at it and break it down into two parts. There's going to be general rules, procedures, policies that all staff members are going to have to be trained on, and it's going to need to be communicated to them. But what I've seen more and more is, if it's possible at the operation, some employers now have dedicated individuals. And what I mean by dedicated individuals is we have dedicated tractor operators. We have dedicated individuals that are handling pesticides, herbicides, WMIS 2015 GHS control products. But the other thing, though, too, with that is, even though having those dedicated individuals and training them on that particular piece of equipment or dealing with the chemicals, they also need to reinforce to the existing staff that aren't going to be working with that, that unless they've received that hands-on practical training, they are not to assist another colleague, right, with that particular task that they could be working on. And by doing that, right, and limiting the amount of people that are actually working with that particular piece of equipment or handling the chemicals, we're reducing the risk of exposure and hopefully lessening the impact of an incident or an accident occurring.
How does that work, though, in a time of year where it's kind of like, spring seeding, for example, where it's all hands on deck? How do you enforce that and make sure that people are following those rules sort of in the heat of the moment?
I've got one particular operation that I can reference that over the years that what they've done is they've actually mapped it out. So if they anticipate that they're going to be planting in April, they'll schedule a day in March, and they'll schedule that day on a Saturday. And in this particular operation that I'm referencing, they've told their both their full-time staff and then their family members, if it's applicable, but as well also the part-time staff members, they need to be there on that particular day. And if they don't show up for that half-day health and safety orientation training, then they're not going to be working there that season.
Definitely planning the schedule, when the training or communication will occur, ideally in advance of exposure to those tasks. I am sure the topics as well become important within the planning. What might some of the topics or subjects be that you would recommend for training?
So some of the topics that I would recommend would be your general safety rules at the particular operation or at the farm. You know, what is the required personal protective equipment that the workers may be required to wear? Example, steel-toed footwear. Is there a requirement when I'm working with particular pieces of equipment to wear hearing protection? Am I required to wear safety glasses? There could be legislative requirements. What are the actual duties and responsibilities of the employer, the supervisor, the worker? We could be considering workplace violence and harassment. We could be considering WMIS 2015 GHS control products, lockout, tagout. And to that point, though, when we're talking about doing that training, and if we're scheduling it and we're planning it, we also need to consider, though, too, that sometimes too much information is too much. Okay. And what I mean by that is, based off of where you're at, and if it was going to be late March, there still could very well be snow on the ground. Is it really important or feasible to be talking about heat stress? Maybe not so much in March, but we also need to be mapping this out and thinking it's not just going to be a one-time training session. Maybe we need to piece it out and conduct tailgate talks throughout the course of the season. So if the first heat advisory, the first high heat and humidity alert has been issued, maybe that's the time to gather the men around or the women or the staff around and conduct that 10-minute tailgate talk on heat stress. To that point as well, what if there's a near miss? What if something actually almost happened but didn't occur? Our operations requiring their staff to report those near misses. So if someone potentially slipped and tripped on ice, maybe again, we have another little 10-minute or 5-minute tailgate talk in and around slips, trips, and falls.
So truly the schedule, topic, and even method of how we are providing that communication or training is going to depend on the operation and the experiences throughout that season. So some resources, examples of how farmers might provide that training then, whether it is the mentoring moment or it is something a little more formal where we might have a group together. What works well in your experiences?
I've seen it various ways. There's consulting operations or health and safety organizations or associations that could assist you. You could bring in a third party to conduct that training. Various resources on our website, Workplace Safety and Prevention Services, agricultural safety topics. So there's an opportunity to download those free of charge and to conduct that tailgate talk. I would also point out, though, too, again, based off of the size of the operation, this may very well fall upon the employer. But if an employer has an experienced lead hand, an experienced farm manager, an experienced supervisor, that's an opportunity to, incorporate him or her to assist them with that training, right? It doesn't necessarily need to just be one individual. What we want to ensure is that we've got a strong functioning health and safety foundation at the operation and ensure that everybody, whether it's an employer, whether it's a supervisor, crew leader, manager, and the workers are all working and striving to ensure that we've got a health and safety business.
Jay, what are the top three tasks that you would encourage farmers to consider in planning for safety this spring?
My top three would be to make that investment in health and safety, inspections. So inspecting of the workplace, inspecting of equipment, inspecting your first aid kits, your fire extinguishers, your emergency eyewash station, and then training. Training of the workers, all staff, as I had alluded to earlier, maybe there's some dedicated individuals that you're going to train. But just keep in mind, though, too, with the training, it's not just a one-time thing. You want to map it out. You want to plan it out and ensure that you're capturing it throughout the season.
in that planning for our farmers, then ensure that we do consider the investment and put actions in place, inspections and training for our workers as well as family members.
Jay, thanks a lot for taking the time to lead us through some of this stuff.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
That was safety consultant Jay Remsick, reminding us all to plan ahead for safety this spring. And remember, at the end of the show, we'll provide a list of resources to help you meet this goal. We'll be right back after a brief message.
Making farms safer and protecting your greatest asset. It's what we do at Workplace Safety and Prevention Services. We share best practices to identify and address potential hazards to prevent life-changing accidents before they impact you, your people, and your bottom line. For free resources, training, and tailored safety solutions, visit wsps.ca.
I remember a few years ago, I was talking with a friend of mine. He's a retired cop, and we were talking about mental health. I don't really even know how the topic came up, but he was saying that it's been important to him over the years, though, that when he needed the help, he reached out for it. And I was surprised by that. I said that he was kind of an unlikely, as a tough-as-nails cop, mental health advocate. I just wasn't expecting that. Now, what he told me was that, you know, if he'd broken his leg, he wouldn't try and fix it himself.
Wow, it's so true. We do not treat our mental health in the same way as our physical health. And so many people go without the support or treatment that they might need.
And Danielle Stewart joins us now. She's a health and safety consultant with WSPS, who specializes in workplace mental health.
So I deliver training and consulting services to various different sectors in Ontario to help break down the stigma and help workplaces understand what workplace mental health truly is and how we can improve our interactions and our day-to-day job tasks.
Danielle, why do you do what you do as a consultant focusing on mental health? What brought you to your role?
I think we all have various passions in life. When I look at this role specifically, it's got two different sides to it. It's got the agriculture and the mental health side, of course. The mental health side is a simple one for me. My family was directly impacted by mental health challenges throughout my life, diagnosable and undiagnosable. And it made it a very easy decision that was an area that I needed to talk about more openly and to discuss, because I knew I wasn't going to be the only one struggling. And that I knew that by sharing my family stories, my own stories, and the lessons that we've learned or the resources that I've learned about can impact others. From the agriculture perspective, not only is agriculture just an area that I'm truly passionate about and excited about, and I think it's a fundamental part of our communities that I truly do enjoy being a part of and learning more about and continue to grow in. But I also have a family history there, from whether it be my grandfather, who was a fruit farmer in Niagara, down to various other parts of my life and passions and where I'd like to go in my future as well. So agriculture has been a fantastic part of my journey, and I'm really proud of the work that I've been able to be a part of in mental health and agriculture.
Danielle, within your introduction to your role and what you do with WSPS, you mentioned part of it is discussion around stigma. Let's take a step back to that term for a moment and demystify or define. What is stigma?
Absolutely. Yeah. Stigma is considered often unfair beliefs about a person or group of people. And it's not necessarily just related to mental health. It could be our cultural backgrounds or religious backgrounds and so forth. But I think it's a really prominent conversation when it comes to mental health, because it does have a factor in isolating people, making them feel like they're alone and they are the only one that's struggling, when in fact we know that so many people are experiencing mental health challenges on any given day, week, lifetime.
Danielle, what might some of those examples of stigma be within agriculture? What are those words or those beliefs that seem to exist within the sector?
Absolutely. I think, and one of the big ones in agriculture is that farmers are rough and tumble and nothing kind of gets past them. And in many ways, that's a fantastic part. It's one of the areas that we're proud of being resilient, right? And having that armor, if you will, on top of us that we wear on a given day. But that's also a challenge for us as well, because while it's one of the best qualities of making a really awesome farmer, it prevents us from another understanding of vulnerability that also makes farmers phenomenal farmers.
Do we need to take a step back from that kind of Iron Man mentality that's kind of permeated the sector then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a fantastic opportunity to do that, but finding our balance is what's really important, because that's also part of our identity in many ways. And that's a generational identity. That's something that's been there for many, many years. We're not necessarily going to eradicate or change that, and we don't necessarily want to, but it's almost about elevating that and finding that strength in vulnerability, and that's actually part of that armor as well. We should be proud of that. And when we're struggling, we can talk openly and know that that's not a weakness or character defect or anything like that. It's actually part of who we are and makes us stronger.
Yeah, sometimes reaching out is it takes a lot of courage to do that. I think that's maybe something we overlook sometimes.
Absolutely.
Any other suggestions or thoughts on, in your experiences, what farmers have found to be successful in breaking down that Iron Man connotation that Gord suggested?
Well, I think it's also, when we look, reflect on ourselves, it's taking time to take breaks. And I know that seems really challenging again, but it could be just something like sit and enjoy your coffee, stop the tractor, turn it off, and actually enjoy your coffee, even if you don't get out of the tractor, maybe, but look around, or, you know, walk between the rows, quite literally, and enjoy what's around you. Take a moment. And if it's a matter of, you know, taking the four-wheeler across, walk instead. Give yourself that couple extra minutes to take that time and have that moment for yourself. And when we give ourselves that opportunity to center, we're actually giving permission to others to center themselves as well, to reflect, to take a moment. And when we're doing that, we're actually going to also help us act more safely physically. When we're making sure we are, our mind is just as strong as our physical body, we're making decisions, we're being on top of those decisions, and we're doing them in a safe manner, as opposed to moving at such high speeds that we're perhaps making some poor decisions and maybe being a little bit complacent in how we make those decisions from not only a safety perspective, but from how we look after our farms and our business.
I would almost argue that there's a component of productivity that's baked into this too, that if you can take the time to become a calmer and more reasoned employer and an employee, that you'll be more productive.
Absolutely. And I think coming with that, and it's not easy to do. That's a super challenging one for all of us at the best of times. But I think you're absolutely right. This has a huge impact on our productivity. And there is a business case for this conversation. It does make sense. We know when we can take the time to look after ourselves physically and mentally, we're going to see the reward on the other end. Putting that investment early on to not only set ourselves up to work safely, physically and emotionally and mentally and psychologically, all gives us a greater return on our investment at the end of the day as well. And it seems challenging to do, and it's easy, one of the first things to drop off, because we often forget that our farmers and our workers are the most important asset on our farm. And we think it's about the productivity. It's about, you know, the aftermath of what is actually being sold or what commodity we're working with. But it's really the people. It's the people who create that, who drive that, who look after that, who foster that. And if we don't look after them, if we don't look after ourselves, that's all going to fall.
Do we as an industry make too much of a distinction between health and mental health? Isn't, in fact, mental health just part of the overall health picture, and shouldn't we think of it that way?
Absolutely. I think that's where we want to be. We want to strive to get there. Unfortunately, I don't think we're quite ready there to be there yet. Our health is actually comprised of three components: our physical health, our mental health, and our social health. And without one, you can't really talk about the other. They're so intertwined. But it's actually because of the stigma that we don't see it that way. We see mental health very separately. And if we can break down the stigma, we are going to get to that place. And then we're going to look at it holistically. And it's going to be so much easier to address. And I would argue that when we talk about health and safety at WSPS, and that's why we talk about psychological health and safety at WSPS, because that's what we're aiming to get to. We want to look at the hazards that we're exposed to both physically and psychologically as one and the same, because we know that they do have, they're very much interconnected, and there's a fallout. Every accident, every critical injury or fatality is going to have a mental health component that goes with that, because it all relates to our health.
Danielle, can you give us a real life example of how the concept of stigma plays out on the farm?
Absolutely. I think there's a, you know, a good one. Many of us might be familiar with the concept of a barn fire. And if a barn fire were to occur, we know intuitively we would be stepping up to support that farm to, you know, if it's a family farm, it might be having individuals run over and help, not only to help make sure that the emergency services are at the right place at the right time, but also looking after all of the other elements that go with that scenario, whether it's getting some sandwiches for the kids and helping get them off on the bus on time. We all band together to work through those crisis moments. And I think that's fantastic. And one of the things that in agriculture, we need to be champions and be very proud of the way that we band together in difficult times. But having said that, it's a bit different and it can be very challenging when we don't always see that same result when it comes to a mental health challenge. If we're seeing and recognizing that a neighbor or a farmer that might be in distress from a mental health perspective, we don't often respond in the same way. We don't see those, you know, a dinner being made or the casseroles or even just knocking on the door to say, how are you? It's a much more taboo topic and we almost don't want to address it. We ignore it in many ways because we aren't sure how it will be perceived. But I think we have to encourage ourselves to just be looking to ask, hey, how are you? Is everything okay? Or when you don't see that the corn's come down, how do you recognize and not judge that individual and maybe think, you know, they always make sure that they've met their obligations and their chores on time based on the season. And it just doesn't, it's not lining up this time. Is everything okay? Maybe I should just go over and ask and do a check-in. So we don't do that necessarily the same way I think that we could. And I think that's an opportunity for us.
Danielle, are there resources, tools, or services that you might encourage farmers to look toward as they begin or continue the conversation of mental health at their operations?
Absolutely. There's lots of different ways to begin the conversation with their own staff, just to start talking about their own workers, to start talking about mental health and agriculture. WSPS has two free webinars that we post on our website and on thinkmentalhealth.ca, which is a tremendous website that has lots of different resources, not only just about workplace mental health in general, but also a page specific to agriculture. Also, for those that are find themselves perhaps wanting to reach out for professional supports to talk and discuss their own personal conversations, Ontario Farm Wellness Initiative is a recent conversation or opportunity that's come up, which provides access to up to 4 free counseling sessions with a mental health professional for all farmers across the province in Ontario, including members of their family. Out in out west, we also see the Farm Stress Line, which is a line that's been created by and for farmers, so they can call into that to be able to access support from a clinician or a counselor. And then in other areas of Canada as well, you can reach more general suicide prevention services or call the suicide hotline as well, which is 1-800-SUICIDE. So if you find that you might be in distress or someone else, there are resources out there, some that are very specific to agriculture, some that are a little bit more unique. There are even training programs such as the In the Know program, which was designed and created by the University of Guelph from and by and for farmers. So I encourage you to take a look at those courses about responding to crisis as well.
The insights to your personal stories are so valuable on any topic, but I might suggest the topic of mental health and within agriculture in particular. So thank you for shining a light on yourself for us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To wrap up, where's the best place for farmers to find more resources on these important topics, Kristen?
Google Between the Rows podcast. In the show notes, you will find links to all of the resources. Once again, Google Between the Rows podcast.
For Cultivating Safety, I'm Gord Gilmore, wrapping up the inaugural episode. I was joined today by Kristen Hoffman of WSPS.
That's me, Kristen Hoffman. Thanks so much, Gord, and we will see you next time.